Welcome to Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio.
Honey, it's a brand new study for us here at Chasing the Word. Welcome back to the microphone.
Thank you. It is really, really good to be back. And I'm super excited about this new series that we're starting today.
It's kind of an open-ended series for us. We know exactly what the length is for the scriptures involved, but what it's going to take to get through it and the way we're going to do it this time, this is new for us.
Yeah.
It's the red letters. And so those of you who understand the terminology, all the words that Jesus literally spoke that are recorded in the Bible are often in translations printed in red letters.
Mm-hmm.
To make them stand out, theologians have said, well, every word is expressed of God. They're all equally weighted. And other people have said, well, you know, if it comes down to choosing who actually gets to interpret the scripture and make it come to life fully, it's got to be Jesus, not some other prophet before him, not some other disciple after him. The final word comes down to Jesus himself. And that's why they put the primacy on the red letters.
Yeah. I'm excited also because we're going to do something a little different at the end of the program, and we'll explain more about that later, but it's called Lectio Divina, and it's a way of reading scripture that highlights and enhances the passages that you're focusing on. It is an age-old spiritual practice, but again, we'll talk about that a little bit more later.
It has been, by the way, as I look back at the calendar of the studies we've done over the years. It's been 8 years now that you and I have been involved in this scripture project of doing an exegetical style of teaching, but doing it in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You and I across the table saying, what is God showing you now in the scripture? It literally forms a new community of understanding of the scripture that only comes out when people actually share with each other.
Yeah.
And you and I are doing this as husband and wife across the table and coffee in the mornings. So this is our style. We just happen to have microphones on while we're doing it. For the benefit, hopefully, of those who are part of the Compassion Radio family that listen to all of our different programming, and to be able to hear what it's like for two people to sit down and sometimes wrestle their way through a scripture, other times just explore it, other times just celebrate what we've always known to be true about these scriptures. Every week is different.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm grateful. And what we're going to do is invite people into a different level of participation, as you mentioned, this Lectio. It's a discipline that involves actively responding to things, not passively just letting it flow by us, but move through us. And we've always encouraged our listeners to take advantage of the tools that we have available on our website for each one of our Compassion Radio Chasing the Word series, where we'll put a scripture there. Often we'll do kind of a modern translation or new iteration of the scripture in language that is fresh. Not that we're competing with other translations of the Bible, just because we want that to be part of our exercise of understanding the word better by going to the Greek, going to the Hebrew, to the Aramaic. What would it sound like if it was being spoken right here to us across the table? So we've made that part of our study guide, and we've asked a couple of key questions. We want people to be able to dig in and actually savor what the scripture is saying and actually listen to it in real time. And you, as a spiritual director, often do this first person with somebody sitting across the table like I'm doing with you.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do these recordings now in this new series, we'll actually have done the Lectio ourselves. We'll have asked the questions, responded to them, written down our answers, and we'll unpack some of those answers for you at the end of each week's program. Mm-hmm. So you'll understand what it's like to go through it together with somebody. But it's not meant to be the answer. It's meant to be the method.
Well, and it may even prompt more questions than give answers.
I hope so.
Yeah. I love Lectio Divina because it does bring me deeper into the word. It speaks directly to my inner being and directly to things that I am going through at the moment. And that's knowing scripture better, learning context of it or putting it in practice.
One of the things about reading scripture that I've had to learn over the years is that there's a tempo to each of them.
Mm.
Yeah, and there's different kinds of scripture. We learned that when you go to Bible college. You know, there's poetry, there's prophecy, there's law, there's history, there is epistle, letters being written between people.
Mm-hmm.
There is
narratives.
And journalism.
Yeah.
I mean, all these kind of things are part of the entire oeuvre, which is the Bible. That we take as being canonical, being of one body.
Mm-hmm.
And of the thing that if we had to do nothing else but just read that book and talk about it together and pray it, it would be enough. But there is something to be said for it coming to life within us. And that's what I think makes John so special to me when he actually, in Greek, says to the world, you want word? I've got your word right here, and it's not just something Jesus said. It's something Jesus is, because Jesus is the Word.
Right.
And he makes that statement. He says that the inspiration, the revelation of God, is not just something we observe and see on a paper mm-hmm. or hear spoken to us. It's something that enters into us. Mm-hmm. The Word is not a what. The Word is a who.
Yeah.
And that principle is foundational, I think, to what's become a very living faith over centuries, millennia. Mm-hmm. If Jesus himself is quite literally eternal, from the beginning to the foundation of the world, he already was, he is the great I am. If that is really true in an objective sense, not just some mythical notion that makes it easy for us to entertain new ideas, if we're going to say that Jesus himself, when he shows up and he indwells us, does something that nothing else in the universe can do, could ever do, ever will do, now we've got to give him room to speak. Mm. When he literally spoke as a human being with a vocal cords and ears and eyes like you and I have, it is kind of special to me. There's something about that intimacy of being one of us that does in some ways uniquely elevate his spoken word to me.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's a profound difference to hear Jesus speaking than the prophets of old or even the apostles after Jesus. It says to me that God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit had such important things to say,
right.
Not just to me, but to mankind, that he had to come here and do it.
Yeah.
He couldn't just use a prophet. He didn't want to just use a prophet or some priest in the temple. He wanted to say it himself and to model, this is who I am. This is what I want you to know. These are the things that are so important that you know how much I love you. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you, I'm going to be with you. And that to me is profoundly moving.
And he wants that word to be us.
Yeah.
In some way that we literally have a synthesis, that God himself indwells us in such a way that we're not God, but that God is so with us that we can't figure out where he stops and we begin. Mm-hmm. There are times like that we just sense it, that God is that close if we allow him to. So to reiterate the point, the Word of God is the Word of God, and there are prophets that speak. There are people that were scribes that wrote things down and copied things across centuries. But there is something to be said for God unfiltered. And that no other
like
mouth
that.
Spoke the word of God but Jesus himself. And it sits there raw on the page. Mm-hmm. Everyone had to wrestle with what it meant, but there was something about Jesus himself breathing out these words that makes them unique mm-hmm. to our experience and understanding, because it makes us so uncomfortable. How would a human being say the things he just said?
Yeah.
Well, because he's more than just being a human being. That's why.
Yeah.
And we're going to discover that together. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take, as best we can tell, and through the guide of some great scholars and theologians across the centuries who said, this is the order chronologically that they probably were all said. We're going to jump into red letters from the beginning, the first recorded words of Jesus speaking for himself and working our way all the way to the cross and beyond, chronologically, as best we can, and explore what's happening in that scene as we go. I hope that it compounds, that each one of the lessons builds something into us that we are going to use as a tool and a lens to further journey into what Jesus is still saying to this day, mm-hmm. but said in a very unique way at that moment in history.
Right. So starting with the first words that he actually uttered, we have to go back to when he was a child, when he was 12 years old.
Or just becoming a man.
Or just becoming a man.
And
yes.
Who looks at it?
Yeah.
Anyone knows about bar mitzvahs would say, nope, he's a man.
Yeah.
So we will explore it there and then, and hopefully make it fresh for you today. We will also respond to the literal words that Jesus spoke and just dwell specifically on the quote. And that's what our Lectio Divina will be about.
Friends, Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how he is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of his kingdom wherever it is to be found. I'm grateful for the opportunity and humbled by the responsibility. I could not have imagined how many momentous changes were hiding right around the corner when I said yes to this job. Even now, I wouldn't change it for the world, but it's also fair to say that it's brought about challenges that have tried the very fabric of my faith. So much has changed and is changing in this world. At the same time, I'm discovering in a deeper way how absolutely consistent God is in times of trial. We'll be taking on bigger, more ambitious, more important projects than we have ever done before, bringing the compassion of Christ into the very center of the world's greatest conflicts. To get there, we need to raise some serious support and to do it soon. When we face a challenge like this, we've done two things. One, we ask God what He wants. And two, we tell our friends what we need. Today, we're doing both. God is opening doors to see what He's doing in currently closed countries and join that work. I'm saying yes. And now I'm sharing the specific need with you so you can say yes, too. And there are still thousands of Bibles we still need to send through our friends at Bibles for the World. It is essential that we raise this new amount of $100,000 this quarter, or we can't proceed with any new outreach and relief programs. So I'll ask you, will you help? Just call today with your first gift and consider making it monthly. Call us 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. If you're on the move right now, you can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to make your gift immediately. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. God bless you and your growing faith. And now, back to our discussion.
The first words that he actually uttered, we have to go back to when he was a child, when he was 12 years old.
Or just becoming a man.
Or just becoming a man,
and who looks at it.
Yeah.
Anyone who's about bar mitzvahs would say, nope, he's a man.
Yeah.
So we will explore it there and then, and hopefully make it fresh for you today. We will also respond to the literal words that Jesus spoke, and just dwell specifically on the quote, and that's what our Lectio Divina will be about. So let's jump into it right away, shall we?
Yes. Our first reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 42 through 52. Now this is a story, and then within the story are the words of Jesus. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went to the feast as they always did. When the feast days were over, they went home. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Joseph and Mary traveled for a whole day. They thought that Jesus was with them in the group. Then they began to look for him among their family and friends, but they did not find him. So they went back to Jerusalem to look for him there. After 3 days, they found him. Jesus was sitting in the temple with the religious teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and wise answers. When Jesus' parents saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why did you do this to us? Your father and I were very worried about you. We've been looking for you." Jesus asked them, "Why did you have to look for me? You should have known that I must be where my father's work is." But they didn't understand the meaning of what he said. Jesus went with them to Nazareth and obeyed them. His mother was still thinking about all that had happened. Jesus continued to learn more and more and to grow physically. People liked him, and he pleased God.
Yeah. The translation you're reading from is the ICB, which, funny enough, is the International Children's Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We chose it for a couple of reasons. One, it's very readable. It's not meant to be in childish language. It's meant for adults to be able to read it and have kids understand it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole intent of that translation, so that families could get into the Word together and talk about it. And so we're going to use that translation as the baseline for the things we discuss. We'll introduce other ones along the way in our further discussions, and we'll take those literal words of Jesus speaking in his own voice as it's reflected in a certain tone of the ICB for each one of our Lectio Divinas.
Well, for a little bit, let's unpack this entire story.
Yes.
Let's just talk through what's going on here. Now, they went to Jerusalem every year, the scripture tells us, but this particular year, Jesus got to go with them.
Yeah. Well, it's quite possible he went in other years, too. We really don't know. We've studied before, you and I, about the going up to the temple days. We've talked a lot about the Psalms and the Songs of Ascent. It may have been an entire clan thing all the time, or maybe different generations had different habits or liturgies that they would go through. But it would be unlikely that a newborn or a child who's just weaning is probably not going to make the journey all the way across. Maybe it was different. Maybe they had the entire clan go so that there were always lots of aunties and mothers around to take care of the little kids. We really don't know.
Mm.
But the first time we actually see Jesus show up at the temple like this, he's jumping straight to business. You know, yeah. He's in there and he's up in the grill of all the teachers, asking them really tough questions. And this reminds me of when you and I are raising our kids, and our kids keep asking questions. Mm-hmm. Get to 3 and 4 years old, it's nothing but question, 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 question. And sometimes it seems like it's almost a provocation, like the kids are just trying to rattle us.
It feels like that, yeah.
And still, we have our kids asking us.
Yeah.
There's one story of our eldest child, Dempsey, that we tell often about what it's like to actually hear from the heart. When she had pestered you so much to ask questions about something, it seemed like it went on forever. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing ever satisfying to her. She kept asking questions, like you were feeling like she was not satisfied with your answers. Mm-hmm. And you finally asked her a question, which was,
why do you keep asking me that? Or why do you keep asking me why?
Yeah, I think a million parents out there probably had that same experience. And her response to you was important. Yeah. She said,
because I want to know. She was a very curious child, and she's still a curious woman.
Very much so. And she's intellectual, working on probably her doctorate soon, so she's got an inquisitiveness that has not stopped. That's a passionate thing for you and I, mm-hmm. because God never grows tired of us asking questions.
It's true.
He already knows what our motive is. And if our motive is to want to know, he knows that. Mm-hmm. And he never shortchanges us. I see Jesus as being exactly in that mode. And Jesus and his heavenly Father, his Father, mm-hmm. are sitting there saying, now we're into it. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
God the Father's not tired or put out with Jesus' questions as a child. So why should we be with our own kids? I mean, I think that's probably the main lesson.
Yeah. That's a tough lesson to learn.
Yeah, and some of us never do.
Yeah.
Or we go straight to the point of defensiveness because we don't know what the answer is.
Right.
And we think if we don't have the answer, then something's
then
wrong.
Then we're failing.
And we've been found out.
Yeah.
What else comes to mind for you in this scenario?
Well, I think most parents have experienced the absolute panic and terror of losing your child
in a crowded place.
Yeah. I can relate to that feeling that Mary and Joseph must have had. It's a sickening feeling. Mm. You know, I can remember one of our kids liked to play inside the racks of clothing at at the store when we would go, and that would just
disappear.
Scare me sometimes. But also, I did that when I was a little girl. So I understood the reasoning behind it because it was fun.
Yep.
But one part of this really kind of stuck out to me in verse 46. It says, after three days of searching.
Yeah.
Now, from what we know about ancient Jerusalem, it was a pretty rough place.
Right.
With the Roman soldiers there, with all of these caravans and merchants, all kinds of things in the city were scary for people.
Remember, this is not after 3 days of separation. This is after 3 days of searching. So after them actually leaving town and heading out on the road and making progress and going places, they've covered a lot of territory now. They discover he's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I guess, had assumed probably that he, being the responsible kid he is, he's just with a family.
Yeah.
And he was probably a favorite cousin for a lot of the people out there. What do you mean he's not here? He's always with so-and-so, whatever. And suddenly it dawns on them that it's gone sideways.
Right.
He's missing. I mean, nobody knows where he is. Mm-hmm. Unacceptable in any generation, right?
Yeah.
So then begins the search. Mm-hmm. You already realize, oh, something has gone terribly wrong.
We've lost God.
Yeah.
That would have been my thought, I think.
And in spite of the Magnificat and stuff, there's not a whole lot of people that held that in the constant thought that, here's God in front of us. He's just Jesus.
Yes.
But a really special kid. But they got to start retracing their steps. They're not just running all the way back to the temple thinking, I don't think I know where he is.
Yeah.
Let's run straight there. They go to every place they've been, one at a time. Watering hole, lunch place where the kids were playing in that field. That donkey caravan that the kids always like to ride on the way out of the city, whatever.
Right.
Whatever the situation is, they're going to go to every single spot, retrace every single step till they finally get back to the last place that they can think of that they might have gone to, where he probably would not have gone to without them. But they can't remember being there sitting with the teachers being taught. And yet, where else are we going to look?
Yeah.
They have searched everything that they already knew. They have to go search someplace they do not know that well, which is the bigwigs that run the temple, that teach the people from the top level down, the theology professors.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that maybe they were hopeful that someone that they encountered had seen Jesus. You know, we could go to the temple, maybe someone's seen him,
and we'll
know where to look.
And I would say that they probably found somebody. So there's this pretty crazy kid that's sitting with the philosophers up there. Yeah. That's what you're talking about. Yeah. that's got to be him. They rush to the scene, and they find him there. They're exasperated.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mom is frantic.
Yes.
That's obvious in the text.
Yeah. I felt it was significant that it was 3 days.
Yeah.
That just kind of leapt off the page to me.
For 3 days, he's dead to them.
Yeah. For 3 days, they couldn't find him. For 3 days, he was nowhere to be found, as far as they knew. And it just kind of jumped out at me.
Which almost reminds me of the 3 days of waiting after the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in Mary's soul, there's got to be something of, I've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe her response and her experience of the death and resurrection of Jesus was a bit different than the rest of the disciples. They're going through it for their first time. Mm-hmm. He's really, truly gone from us. He's really dead.
Yeah.
She's been here before, and it's different for her.
Yeah.
Well, honey, it's no surprise to me at all that this first take on the Lectio Divina type of Chasing the Word program we're going to be doing is going to take us a little bit longer to ramp up into. So we're going to break the program here and pick up the same conversation on the first of the Red Letters of Jesus in next week's program.
Well, I do hope that you'll come back and join us for the rest of this program. And maybe you can prepare yourself a little bit to participate in the Lectio Divina for next week, knowing that that's going to happen. So get yourself a journal or something to write on that you can participate with.
And if you don't have anything at all to organize your thoughts, we do have the study guide available beginning this week. So every one of our Lectio Divina episodes of this Red Letter series, each of them has a study guide. It's on the website right now. So if you'd like to get a jump on next week's Lectio and understand what the questions are like, and even spend some time this week preparing for that, I think you'll be challenged, but you'll get a chance to hear it in Sandy's own voice as a spiritual director in the work that she does now through her spiritual direction practice. I think you're going to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, we're praying for you, and we're so glad you're with us and staying with us in our new tradition, the one that we have actually expanded to 8 years now of doing the Word of God exegetically, working through the Scriptures one at a time, but doing it in conversation. That's what this whole Chasing the Word series is about.
We'll see you next week.
We'll be taking on bigger, more ambitious, more important projects than we have ever done before, bringing the compassion of Christ into the very center of the world's greatest conflicts. To get there, we need to raise some serious support and to do it soon. Call us today, friends, and let us know you're standing with us. 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And we're on the web 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. It's time, friends, to join us for some great adventures in faith this year. We'll see you tomorrow.